Hello, everyone. This is Chaplain John Denny, full-time support chaplain for the South Carolina National Guard. Welcome to yet another episode of Chap Chat. And just to recap what Chap Chat is, it's an opportunity for us to learn about the people in uniform in the South Carolina National Guard, and it's our people that make this organization so strong and gives it the character that we have. And the intent of this is to find out stories from people. I've got Lieutenant Colonel Javi Udise here with me today, and he's going to share his story. But stories of resilience, stories of things that maybe shaped your worldview, or things that you draw strength from in terms of spiritual resilience. And so today, as I said, we have Lieutenant Colonel Javi Udise. So Javi, thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So if you would tell everyone a little bit about what you do for this organization.
Yeah, so I'm AGR. On the full-time side, I'm the state training officer. I work inside the G3 office. And on the M-Day side, I'm a battalion commander. Command 4th Battalion, 118th Infantry Regiment, which is a combined arms battalion.
Okay. And for those that may not know, explain what combined arms is.
Tanks and Bradleys.
So the heavy stuff.
The heavy stuff, yeah.
All right. Right. The stuff that goes boom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be fun.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Busy, but fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was at the Fountain Inn location on Thursday, and there's this really cool simulator thing that's in the armory there.
Yep.
No one would turn it on for me. But it was cool. I felt like actually a soldier for a change.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So in terms of being a leader, as you are with 4th of the 118th, what is your leadership philosophy?
Yeah, I definitely follow a couple of different philosophies. Follow servant leadership, leadership by example. You know, like to make sure that people understand that, you know, I've done the things that I ask people to do, and then, you know, and no issues doing them again. Authentic leadership, you know, I try to do my best to pull myself away from myself, right?
Right.
To put myself in other people's shoes and see them as people, you know. Everyone's got a story. You're not just kind of the main actor in your own movie, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's important for me to kind of focus in on that and make sure that everybody feels like they're part of the organization.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that, though? I mean, you've got command, but servant leadership. It's probably a gentle balance that you need to strike. So it's to show that you are part of the people, right? But at some point, you still have leadership of the people. So I gotta believe that's an interesting balance or a struggle to try to find that fine line.
Yeah, it can be for sure. And I'd tell you probably, you know, maybe when I was a company grade officer, I did have a little bit of, I guess, growth, learning, you know, growing pains in trying to figure out what that looks like. But again, it's being genuine, being honest, you know, being approachable, but at the same time, having that competence and that confidence to show people that they should follow you, you know, that you are their leader.
Right.
And that instills a sense of comfort within people that, yeah, you know, I can get on board. I can get with the program. I can do this.
Right. So you're not just sitting in an ivory tower.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you grow up in 4th and 118th?
I did. Yeah. I grew up in this version of it. So that for a while there, within the last, right, 20 years, 1st and 4th battalions of the 118th Regiment swapped flags a couple times. But, yeah, I've always been, at least on the officer side, in the upstate.
Okay.
I enlisted down in the low country, but when I did, you know, I went through PMA, kind of made my home up in the mechanized world.
Okay. And PMA, for those that don't know, is Palmetto Military Academy. It is our officer leadership program. And that's what, 2 years?
A little over a year.
A little over a year.
Yeah, the traditional program, yeah.
Okay. So you may be familiar with ROTC or, really, I guess it's just those two, right? ROTC or PMA for the South Carolina National Guard for commissioning purposes.
Yeah. Or West Point, but yeah.
Or West Point, yeah. Does the Citadel's ROTC, right?
They do, yeah. I did not go through I didn't commission through the ROTC program there.
Okay.
I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess. So
right,
decided
right.
DOCS, you know, after I was enlisted. So,
right.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Citadel grad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Class of 2006.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, oh, good. Yeah. Good. So you recently got promoted, and I remember vividly when you got promoted. Your parents were there. Mm-hmm. It was a small promotion ceremony because you're about ready to take command.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? Let me just get promoted. Small thing. And then with the promotion ceremony, there's always a pomp, or the change of command, there's always a pomp and circumstance that goes with that. You're like, yeah, that'll suffice. And at your promotion ceremony, I was really touched. And you were emotional as well. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because of the promotion, but I think because of what it represents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And can you share with us the story that you shared at your promotion ceremony?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was born in El Salvador during the Civil War back then in the 80s in El Salvador. And, you know, one thing led to another. My parents decided it was in our family's best interest to move to the States. You know, we have family. At the time, we had family in the States, right? In, I want to say late 85, we moved to New York. I was like a year old. You know, I moved to New York, had somewhat of a support system there. My grandma was there, had a couple aunts and uncles there. Moved to Queens, Jamaica, Queens.
All right.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I didn't know any different, right? You know, I just thought that's what life was, but, you know, now that I'm in my 40s, you know, I can look back on it and say, man, what was it like for my parents? You know,
right.
Like, goodness, to spend your entire life in one country and then move to a totally different country, totally different climate, totally different culture.
Sure.
I mean, you know, what a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and I kind of, I reflect on that a lot more now than I did before. But it's like super brave of them, you know.
Absolutely.
Just to do what needed to be done, right? So, yeah, we lived there for a while. You know, my dad worked a couple of jobs. For a minute while we lived in New York, he actually worked in Pennsylvania removing asbestos.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, so he worked out of state, so I wouldn't see him but on the weekends, right, mm-hmm. when he'd come home. My mom, full-time student, she actually got her bachelor's degree in El Salvador, came here, and then got another bachelor's degree from a, you know, American accredited institution. So she got her bachelor's degree. As soon as she got that, she got a full ride offer to University of Maryland for her master's program.
Wow.
So in, I think it was 94, 95, we moved to Maryland, Hyattsville, Maryland, right outside of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there for about 3 years while my mom did her master's degree there. And, you know, she put out job applications. She's retired now, but she was in, you know, like public administration, you know, public servant, put out job applications all over the country. And, you know, that kind of landed us in Greenville, South Carolina in 97.
Okay.
So we moved there, you know, pretty much just stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, been in South Carolina since 97, you know, but my mom continued, you know, she got her, doctorate degree.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Got her doctorate degree. Worked as the, assistant county administrator for Richland County for a while. And then just over a year ago, retired as the, Georgetown city administrator.
Cool. Yeah. It's really the American dream, what you're explaining.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's, I mean, nothing worth having is easy to get, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. Obviously, your father was a hard worker.
Yeah.
Willing to do whatever it took to support the family, even moving, working in another state.
Right.
While y'all are still trying to figure out this life in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom is pursuing education and continues to pursue until eventually she got her doctorate. That, to me, that's such a cool story. And I think he had said they came with just one suitcase.
Yeah. 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 It's, I mean, you know, it's kind of easy to romanticize it now,
mm-hmm.
you know, 30 some odd years later, almost 40 years later. But, I mean, there were very tough times, you know, very tough times. you know, financially, you know, my parents, is this the right decision? Or, you know, are we doing right by our family?
Yeah.
I mean, just stressful things, you know, lots of, you know, I guess things that anybody in any stable situation would have issues with, you know, they're trying to figure out on the fly while, you know, moving in between jobs, raising children, you know, studying full time. So yeah, no, I definitely remember those, I mean, stressful times, you know, and, you know, I guess it makes things today all the sweeter. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a language barrier when y'all first came, or did they have some semblance of speaking English?
I think they knew a little bit of English. I actually learned English like in kindergarten.
Okay.
Like in school. But it was one of those where, I mean, Queens is a very, very diverse community. So it wasn't that, it, in certain areas, it was easier to get along. You know, it's just kind of the Hispanic communities there. But no, I mean, you know, my mom, man, she's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met.
Yeah.
For sure. So she, you know, she picked it up great. You know, my dad, he speaks English, very thick accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's all good. They got by.
Right.
Pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't those where I can like, you know, in grade school, sneak, I'm telling the teacher, you know, I was having, getting good grades, or, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah, they knew enough to know what A was, a B was, a C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how does that example that they set for you, how has that shaped or transformed how you approach work, how you approach school and education, that kind of stuff? Because I think it's got, seeing that, it's got to transform or shape your worldview somewhat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just, you know, even through the stressful times that, you know, I remember, and I can tell, you know, you would see it on them. I mean, they would just, there's no other option than to just keep going. Like, that's just it. Like, it's not, oh, we're going to give up, or we're going to, you know, go on some program or go back to El Salvador or anything. It was just like, no, like, this is what we set out to do, and, you know, we're just going to do it. And, you know, I guess growing up, I just never thought that there was any other option than just to do what you have to do and succeed at it.
Mm.
You know, whatever that is, you know,
right.
It doesn't mean you have to like become some, you know, billionaire or financial, whatever, you know what I mean? It's just whatever it is that you commit, that you decide that you're going to do, man, just do it.
Right.
You know, it's going to be tough, but.
I like what you said. There's no other option than to just keep going.
Yeah.
And what a great story of perseverance and resilience, because so often people just want to throw their hands up and give up.
Yeah.
And this is too difficult. Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right spot? Maybe I need to do something else. For them, that wasn't an option.
Right.
And they had that grit and that determination to say, we're all in. Right.
Yeah.
We left El Salvador.
Yeah.
We're all in. This is it.
Yep.
This is it. And their back was against the wall for some time. And they overcame that.
Yeah.
Where do you think they got their strength from?
Well, I mean, you know, Salvador was a tough place in the, you know, 70s and 80s. That's just a different culture, you know. And I'm relating everything through stories that, you know, my parents have told me about their upbringing. But, I mean, they had tough childhoods. You know, my mom was orphaned by, I think she was like 16 or 17. You know, my dad, you know, separated family. His father passed away, you know, on the younger side. His mom, my grandma, you know, moved to the U.S. to kind of, you know, start getting things set, you know, on this side. So, yeah, I mean, they both, I mean, most of their lives up until, I would tell you, probably my sister and I moved out of the house. They got, you know, that was finally like they're breathing.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, they had to fight their pretty much their entire lives.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to make it and succeed. And again, not just make it, you know, they built a life. They built a pretty good life. You know what I mean? Just keep, you know, they kept their eyes on the prize. And I mean, they're just, you know, I go back to it like there is no going back.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't, you know, what are you going to go back to?
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? So.
And now to see them retired
has
got to be a pretty cool thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's man, Yeah, I mean, honestly, you talk about the American dream. I mean, like, this is it. Like, we're living it. You know, my parents live 10 minutes from us. You know, my wife's parents live about an hour from us. You know, I mean, tonight, we, you know, wife and I have a thing. Grandparents are coming over to watch the kids. And, like, that's all, you know, it's all they want to do. Right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's great. I just couldn't, you know, I don't know that I want anything more in life, at, you know, than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It's, you know, I'm grateful for it. It's great. You know, we all worked hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in the phase of my life, you know, it's just busy right now, right? Lots of things, but, you know, this part's permanent or temporary, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to enjoy the joys of it, the struggles of it, knowing that it won't be like this always. So,
right.
Yeah.
How has seeing their struggle and their fortitude, how has that shaped you as a person?
Oh, man. I mean, it shaped really, you know, who I am. You know, again, my dad, hard worker. I mean, both my parents are hard worker, but just seeing growing up, right, like my dad was, actually, you know, like physically, you know, working hard, diligently, you know, so I got that, you know, hey, you got to work, right? And my mom on the education side, that was always important to her. So it was kind of just always an assumption, you know, that my sister and I would go to college and, you know, be professionals. And like, there wasn't any notion that either of us wouldn't do that. It mm-hmm. wasn't spoken or unspoken. That's just what it was going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's great. It, you know, it's like, yeah, there's no reason not to.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no reason not to be able to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. I mean, I understand there's issues. And as I get older, I recognize, hey, there are, you know, cycles, there are different issues that people face. And I get that. But for us, just the way that our family dynamic was, it was like, no, you're just going to keep doing what you got to keep doing until you get to where you need to be. So,
right.
Yeah.
What were their thoughts when you decide to make a career out of the military?
So, I mean, my dad was excited because he did a little stint back in El Salvador. So, you know, it wasn't like entirely unforeseen. You know what I mean? There is some history of service, you know, in my family back in El Salvador.
Okay.
I think I was probably more surprised than anybody else, to be honest with you. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I thought about much in like high school. I'll tell you why I went to the Citadel. You know, I mean, I was kind of a B student at the time, and I was like, man, I need some sort of, I was at least smart enough to know I needed some form of structure to get myself through college.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, Citadel military college. And this was back in like 2000, 2001, when I was starting to look at colleges. You know, I didn't necessarily know all the history of the Citadel. I was just like, oh, military college then.
Right.
They'll keep me in line, right?
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, man, you know, recruiter got me.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, no, I can do this. He's like, oh, you want college paid for it? Yeah, sure do, bud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, my God, like, best decision, you know, I mean, outside of family stuff, you know, best decision I've ever made in my life, man. This is where it's at. It's great. I love everything about it.
What do you love about it?
I love the opportunities. I love meeting people. You know, I love traveling. It's made me comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, so all these challenges that I kind of saw growing up, I've been able to like act on, you know, the challenges as an adult. I'm like, oh yeah, no, these are good challenges. You know, it's like that youth stress.
Sure. Yep.
You know, it forces me to stay mentally sharp, you know, physically sharp. You know, I'd probably be a little more physically sharp, but that's okay.
I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a new challenge every day. You know, it's a new thing. It's, man, the people, great people.
Right.
I've just been so fortunate that, man, every team I've been on has just been top notch. And it's just like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I joined the Guard when I was 37.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in real late. And prior to that, I had several civilian jobs, and there are good people there. Don't get me wrong. Smart people. But when I came to the South Carolina National Guard and really got entrenched within the organization, mm-hmm. it's totally different.
Yeah,
and
100%.
Because we're not working towards a bottom line. The bottom line at the end of the day is our people.
Right.
Not a dollar sign. Mm-hmm. And so that dynamic for me was completely different. But when you focus on the people, the results happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the money still plays a part in it, but we don't have to make the money. We just got to spend it in a way that is
that's right.
that the taxpayers expect is an honest, good way of spending that
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
And so that dynamic for me was different.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being in the money business, we're in the people business.
Yeah.
And that's what really attracted me. To your point, some of the people that we have, well, a lot of people that we have, they're great. All they want to do is do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got outliers in it, like we have in any organization.
Sure, sure.
But by and large, the leadership that we have, the opportunities we get, to your point, you wouldn't be able to get that anywhere else. And my only regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, sure.
And I've got 6 years left now until they see me off. it's been great. It's been great. And what is your motivation for continuing to serve? And besides the benefits and but there's, I think knowing you the way I know you, there's something intrinsic within you.
I mean, this isn't quite the romantic answer, but I'll get there. Right. I mean, there's no reason not to leave. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that I'm being complacent and,
mm-hmm.
I have a nice cushy job or whatever, but like, I like what I do. Things are going well. Again, with every step, talked about this recent promotion. I mean, the challenges keep increasing, but they're good challenges. They're tough challenges that, bring out the best in me, help me grow and mature, be a better person. Why would I stop something that just keeps me professionally and personally developing? Mm-hmm. I don't want to cut that off. And I like the people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of most people have like read or heard this. You don't leave or take jobs. Maybe you might take the job for the money, but you leave jobs because of the people, right?
Right.
So
right.
I wouldn't. That's not in the calculus right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In your role, you travel a bunch,
mm-hmm.
and as the 4th of the 118th commander, that requires a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Your role within the G3, the training session requires a bunch of time. How do you balance work life? Because you have two daughters?
Three
daughters.
Yep.
And what are their ages?
11. You put me on the spot.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't ask for anniversary.
No.
Okay.
No. 11, soon to be 9, and 7.
Okay.
So about 2 years apart each.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? Because there's a lot, those mm-hmm. are crucial ages.
Yeah.
And a lot of things going on, whether it's music recitals or acting, whatever they're into.
Yep.
And how do you balance those things while still having to fulfill your commitment to your leadership role and also to the organization?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. And I don't, as a responsible steward of both, right, my profession and my family, I know when I have time to take one to give to the other.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, I was out of town last week. I'm out of town the last week of February down in Fort Stewart. Tonight, leaving early, my youngest has a recital at school, so leaving at 4.
Okay.
What I mean? And again, it's Mondays, I'm on the phone, I'm answering emails. I try to give everything it's due when I can. Again, not, taking advantage of one or the other, But I feel like if you take an earnest look at, an earnest, responsible look at how you can manage your day and get things done, then just do that.
Right.
Not try to overcomplicate things,
Right.
Yeah.
So in between all that, all your responsibilities and people looking to you for answers,
mm-hmm.
solutions to things, guidance. How do you take care of yourself? Or is that one of those things, I'll worry about it, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of thing?
No. Which I, let me add the last part. How do I balance stuff? I mean, I can't do it without my wife, Stacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is like, man.
Good answer. Good answer. Good, way to reel it back.
I know, right? Yeah. No, I mean, she is too good. You know, she's launching her career at the same time where I'm like at the busiest part of mine, you know, and, you know, I mean, those are conversations, right? You know, how do we mutually support each other? Mm-hmm. It doesn't look the same way every day, but it's just having that discussion.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back, remind me.
How do you take care of yourself? Everything that you have responsibility for.
Yeah. So, honestly, I have a really good group of guys from my church that we just kind of text each other. You know, we encourage each other to make time for prayer and meditation. Like to do it about three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get what you can, right?
Right.
You know, 100%. Again, taking myself out of myself, mm-hmm. You know, that part of it is, I mean, me personally, I don't look at it like I can't give myself rest. You know, it's something I have to look to the Lord to give me, right? So that's, you know, that prayer, that meditation, that reflection, you know, whether it's a daily reading, whether it's just reflecting on like what's going on in my life, you know, what's going on in the world, whatever.
Right.
You know, just kind of, I'm learning, right? You know, I'm learning how to kind of just sit with those things and just kind of reflect on them and how I should kind of be interpreting just everything through prayer. And that in and of itself gives me joy. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, have a beer with the boys every now and then, right?
Oh, sure. But, yeah, you're infantry.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
No, that's good. And that's, again, part of this podcast is understanding where people draw their strength from. Mm-hmm. So I hear you saying you draw strength from your family, your commitment to the people under your charge, but also being deliberate and making some time for yourself, even if it's 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I think when people hear prayer or meditation, they're thinking that, hey, this is a long, I got to have half an hour, 45 minutes of quiet time. And some people do. That's great.
Sure.
But my guess is, knowing your schedule, that they're probably, and trying to do it three times a day, they're probably just brief moments throughout your day that it allows you just to take a breath and look inward a little bit.
That's right.
And look upward some.
Yep. Yep.
And so to be able to find some peace in the chaos of your day.
And there's a million reasons. There's a million excuses to give yourself for it's not the right time. You know, whether it's your mood, you know, or you think you're busy or this and the other, but it's like, no, man, just take where you are right now. Just take that and be in prayer in that state.
Mm-hmm.
And try to receive what you can get
right
there. You know, I feel like that cuts down on most of the excuses and you know, and I get something out of it. So
talk to me briefly, if you're comfortable with this, about when you're in that, practicing that prayer and meditation, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, in the morning, you know, and again, these are things I'm working, so it's not like I've been doing it for years,
right?
You know,
I get it.
These are, you know, things in development in the works. But in the morning, you know, I try to do an offering, you know, hey, what's my schedule look like today? What are the things I'm going to be doing? You know, where do I think that my emotional shortfalls are going to be throughout each one of these things? You know, and I don't pray, you know, hey, Lord, you know, help me be patient today, or, you know, help me be caring, whatever mm-hmm. it is that, you know, I think I'm going to need. You know, throughout the day, you know, I'll do like a reading, try to reflect on it for a minute. And it's somewhere where if it'll hit me, if I'm reading it and I'm like, oh yeah, duh, this is what I need to think about. Or, you know, just kind of, okay, all right, this is what it was, and just kind of sit with it for a minute, stew on it as you're doing stuff, and then, you know, might hit you.
Sure.
And then in the evening, it's just kind of, you know, you AAR the day, right?
Right.
You know, hey, where did I do well? what were my shortfalls? What could I have done better? Who do I need to apologize to? Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's generally how I try to model it.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And that keeps you grounded.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, I suppose I could be, if I let myself be someone who, you know, can have a big ego. I mean, I don't know, not for any other reason than I'm human. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But things like that definitely help me stay grounded and humble, you know, remind me that, you know, I'm just a dude like everyone else trying to make it, you know,
and make their way through the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that's good. Another takeaway I got from you is you have that circle of friends
mm-hmm.
that are like-minded,
yeah,
that can provide some encouragement for you
mm-hmm.
when things get tough.
Yeah.
So that's important.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
important to have your circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone's, you hear, you reap what you sow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that you reap a lot more than you think you do. It's not just in what you do, right? You know, it's who you're around. It's the things you say, the things you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not trying to get too preachy, but.
No, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
You know, so, I mean, all these things make up who you are, whether you acknowledge it or not, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I just try to be cognizant, more cognizant now of those things than I used to be.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's good. That's good advice, and that's good stuff, because it really starts to hit to the heart of what one of the objectives of this podcast is how do you, in a chaotic world, how do you find a little bit of peace to be able to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story and of your parents. I mean, what a great story that is. The American dream, and the dream isn't, I guess the dream is part of it is in the journey.
Yeah.
No, we have no other choice. This is what we got to do.
Right.
But to see the fruits of their labor, and now that they can sit back and just enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
They can enjoy what they've sowed,
mm-hmm.
Which is watching you and your sister strong members of society that are giving mm-hmm. back, having grandkids to just soak in and be with. Whereas if they stayed in El Salvador, they may not have had that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And also to hear how you balance everything, it was really part of this podcast as well. It's mm-hmm. to be able to, again, it doesn't have to be a long process to be able to stay grounded. But it's an intentional process.
100%.
The intentionality of it is vital.
Yeah, that's nailed it.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you coming in. You're a valued friend to me. And
you too.
You're valued to this organization. And I know 4th and 118th is lucky to have you. Some of the soldiers may not think so, but I think so.
Or so you've heard, right?
Yeah, so I've heard. You do great things for this organization, and people like you are what make this organization what it is. When we are talking about people, you're some of those good people, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking some time to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
And that's it. I really do appreciate you.
Yeah, no, thanks. I mean, yeah, it was a great opportunity. You know, I hope someone listens to this and kind of get something from, you know, if one person gets something from it, right?
That's it. So the one person listening,
that's right.
If that one person gets something from it, that's what counts. And, and that's what this is about.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for anyone out there listening, if you have a unique story or if you have something that you do that grounds you spiritually or something that you've been through that has increased your resilience, and you've grown through that, please hit me up. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to get you on the podcast. And like Javi said, maybe someone can take something away from your journey and what you've experienced. So thank you for tuning in to Chap Chat. Chaplain Denny signing off.